Well, that was great singing. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Dave. I'm one of the pastors on staff. Thanks for being willing to come to one service today and kind of jam in here a little bit. Very thankful for each one of you. If you have a Bible, and it's okay if you don't, but if you have a Bible, open to Philippians chapter 1, or if you have a bulletin, the scripture is on the inside cover there. I'll refer to that in just a second. The book of Acts is the historical narrative of the early church. And the first eight chapters of the book of Acts focus on Peter. And I like Peter. Peter's a pretty cool guy, good old Peter. If you chase his life and the words that are recorded of Peter through scripture, he didn't really have a filter. And many times my wife would pray that I'd have more of a filter. So I can appreciate Peter. He spoke boldly on the day of Pentecost after denying the Lord right before the cross to a servant girl. But he saw the resurrected Christ, and that made all the difference in his life. He saw crucifixion, burial, resurrection. He was a changed man. In those first eight chapters, he healed a lame beggar at the beautiful gate of the temple. He was thrown into jail for his testimony. He pronounced judgment on Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to God. He laid hands on believers in Samaria who were then filled with the Holy Spirit. But when you get to chapter 9 of the book of Acts, the focus switches to Saul, who became Paul. The persecutor of the church, Saul, becomes Paul, the loving champion, Jesus-loving champion of the church, and he begins planting churches all around, planting churches. Stay a little while, plant another church. And the majority of our New Testament is made up of the letters that he wrote to the churches that he planted. He would stay, I think, the longest anywhere was 3 years. And then because he couldn't get back to the church that had gotten started in that community, he would write a letter. And we're the benefactors. Half of the New Testament was written by Paul writing these letters to these churches. He writes to Corinth, the carnal church he loves, but the church drives him crazy. He writes to the church at Galatia about having freedom in Christ versus legalistic rules. He writes to Ephesus to catch a glimpse of the big sovereignty of God. He writes to Colossae about the supremacy of Christ. Anything in your life, nothing should surpass Christ in your life. He writes to Thessalonica, they were being persecuted, and he just wants them to know that even though he's not there, he loves them, and he wants to encourage them, and he talks them, he tries to encourage them into enduring for the sake of Christ. And then he writes this letter to Philippi, to the believers in Philippi. And there was something special about this church's partnership with Paul. And I'm going to read from Philippians 1, just as verses 3 through 11, and see if you can pick up the love that he has. Now, he's writing from jail. And if you read all four chapters of the book of Philippians, you would see the word joy written all over the actual word and the flavor and the atmosphere. The whole letter is joy. He's in jail. He doesn't pray to even get out of jail. He prays that God would be glorified. But while he's in jail, as a type A personality, you'd think he'd want to get out. He's writing and he's thinking about the people that he's come to know in these different communities. And when he thinks about the Philippian people, he has this unbelievable appreciation that he writes about. So let me read just verses 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. There's the word there. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I know, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment, which is where he was, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So he's in prison because of the gospel, and he is thinking not about himself, but about this group of people that he dearly loves. He's overwhelmed with gratitude for a number of things, but let me just point out the first thing. He says in verse 5, he's thankful. He's thankful to God because of your partnership in the gospel. The word partnership there in the original language is the word koinonia. It's where we get our word fellowship. Actually, almost 21 years ago when this core group got together, and we as a small group of individuals not knowing what we were getting ourselves into, we had a contest to pick our name. And I didn't get the name that I wanted, but that was okay. That was a precursor to the years ahead. But Lakeside Fellowship. And the second word, there weren't a lot of churches that didn't have Lakeside Church. It was Lakeside Fellowship. And it was because of this verse and a number. The word koinonia or fellowship literally means this. It denotes a sharing of common experiences and a common vision. It means to have something so in common with one another that you're willing to lock arms for the glory of God. And the thing that they had in common was the gospel. Partnership in the gospel. The gospel is literally good news. The good news is you're a sinner in need of a savior. Christ came to the rescue. He died on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He was buried, and then he rose again so that you could believe in his finished work on the cross and not in your own doing. You'll never do enough to qualify yourself for his heaven. And so he talks about this partnership that he felt in his heart as he's in jail and he's hundreds of miles away from these people, this partnership in the gospel. And so then he prays at the end in verse 9, it's a prayer. Here's his prayer for the people. It is my prayer, verse 9, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul wanted them to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ, not good works, to the glory and praise of God. He wasn't praying for himself, he was praying for them. He concludes in chapter 4 and verse 1, and you don't need to turn there, but he says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord. You are my beloved. You are my beloved. And today, this portion of Scripture and the spirit of thankfulness in this portion of Scripture is alive in my heart, my mind, and my soul for you. It's alive. So much is going to be shared today, but the heart of what I want to say is thank you. Deb and I are so thankful. We want to thank you for your friendship, your encouragement, your support, your partnership in the gospel ministry here at Lakeside. Thank you for your investment of sacrificial giving and service over and over and over to others and for the sake of the gospel. For Deb and I, the past almost 21 years have been truly rewarding, fulfilling, and a dream realized. We thank you. And we love you. Above all, we want to give thanks to God. This whole venture, Christian life, is all about him. He's the center and the reason and the purpose for which Lakeside exists today. It's ultimately Christ who's building his church. He uses people, surely. But without Christ building the church, we wouldn't be here this morning. To him be the glory. So no matter what else you hear the next couple of minutes, Deb and I want to say thank you. So three main announcements I need to share with you this morning. Number one, God has led me to step down from my position as lead pastor at Lakeside Fellowship effective May 31st. For almost 21 years, I've tried to love you and lead you, certainly imperfect at best. Make sure you remember that nobody asked me to step down and no one suggested I should leave other than God. When I turned 60, not when I turned 60, when I turned 60, almost 5 years ago now, I shared with the elders of Lakeside the need for a succession plan so that when I came to the age of 65, Lakeside would be prepared for the passing of the leadership mantle. Just after that, I attended a church plant conference in the sovereignty of God in which the main speaker said this. He said, "I am at the point in my life where I have committed to God to grow my best fruit on the next generation's tree." That immediately impacted me 4 years ago, and it deeply resonates with me today. I came back from that conference 4 years ago, and all the elders and I worked through a book called Next, Pastoral Succession That Works. Since that time 4 years ago, God has been guiding me in conjunction with the elders of Lakeside with a still small voice, yet very clearly and directly. Going through the series in Genesis and preaching about Abraham and other people of the faith, where he asked people to take steps of faith and he doesn't always give them the reasons why, has both been a challenge to Deb and I as well as an encouragement. Announcement number two. God has led me to accept a pastoral position, a helping position with Rob Pearson and the new church plant in Waukee. God has been beautifully gracious to Deb and I during this time. I want you to know that I'm not burnout. I am not worn out. But I do feel that God has called me to go out. It is not time for me to land the plane, but to soar for Christ. It is my personal conviction that I relayed to the elders that I cannot stay at Lakeside in a different capacity without hindering God's next leader for you. It is a strong conviction that I relayed to the elders about a year ago, again, with no prompting from the elders. Again, let me be clear, no one's asked me to step down or leave except for God himself. In God's gracious sovereignty, and out of the blue, as Deb and I were looking for God to direct. In late October of 2025, Rob Pearson, who I barely knew, the new church planner, asked me to join him in the church plant endeavor in Waukee. Reminiscent of the call to originally be a church planner while I was pastoring in Algona, praying about the desire to be a church planner, but not sharing with anyone and not asking anyone, not wanting to ask, but to be asked. After much prayer and fasting, we felt that that was God's will for our lives. I've come to learn in the last couple of months that I'm a church planner at heart. Has nothing to do with the amount of love that Deb and I have for any one of you. God first had an individual speak to me in 1995, before I was ever a pastor, about you should be a church planner, and I laughed it off. Seeing Abraham be challenged to take consecutive faith steps, knowing God was calling Deb and I to do the same, I have asked the elders if they would be so willing to be allowed to be sent out as a missionary from Lakeside to the church plant for a minimum of 2 years. My desire and my mission right now in the weeks ahead is to end well at Lakeside and begin again in Waukee. Announcement number three, there won't be any more after this one. God has led the elders of Lakeside to unanimously nominate Pastor Trevor as the next lead pastor of Lakeside Fellowship. I first met Pastor Trevor just under 5 years ago. He had heard that I had been called out of the business world and wondered if we could talk. It was very, very apparent to me 5 years ago that God was calling Trevor to serve him full-time in some ministry. Over the next 6 months, we met several times over coffee or lunch, and then in the sovereignty of God, an opening on the Lakeside staff was available. Trevor was the first person I contacted just over 4 years ago. Trevor accepted a position on the pastoral staff starting July 1st, 2022, with the understanding that after a couple years of ministry at Lakeside, there would be the start of a conversation concerning his possible future role as lead pastor. After those initial 2 years of serving with me on staff at Lakeside, I determined and the elders confirmed that in the areas of character, competency, and chemistry, Pastor Trevor was qualified to start the process of possibly being Lakeside's future lead pastor. God has, as you'll agree, God has uniquely gifted Pastor Trevor for the role of lead pastor here at Lakeside. He has been in leadership positions for over 20 years, has served as a lay leader in a previous local church, and is highly gifted as a teacher, leader, and communicator. He has always had a love for people, but over the past 4 years, I've seen that blossom into a deep burden for the loss and a desire to win souls. The elders have been in a very specific 18 to 24 month process of mentoring Pastor Trevor and Terry. A word about Terry, Pastor Trevor's wife. What a blessing. She loves the Lord. She knows God's word, and she is an excellent biblical counselor. She loves her husband, and she compliments him perfectly. In early 2025, part of the evaluation process of Pastor Trevor included 14 different men and women who are members of Lakeside participating in a very detailed written assessment of Pastor Trevor. Pastor Trevor's assessment confirmed high marks in the areas of character, competency, and chemistry. At the beginning of 2025, a year ago January, the elders gave Pastor Trevor shepherding authority over the staff and ministries of Lakeside, and we've observed God's hand of blessing this past year. On January 15th of this year, not too long ago, after many, many meetings, much prayer and fasting by the elders of Lakeside unanimously voted to nominate Pastor Trevor for lead pastor. Mike Safely, one of the elders, will come up in just a second and give a few of those details. In closing, in my regular devotions in the last couple of weeks, I was reading in the end of Deuteronomy that God told Moses, "Thanks for leading my people for the last 40 years, but you will not be allowed to go into the promised land yourself. Joshua will lead the people in." I am eternally grateful that, unlike Moses, I have gotten to experience a piece of the promised land with you. However, like Moses, I truly believe the glory days are not behind Lakeside, they're ahead of Lakeside. And God has called Pastor Trevor to lead you forward. The best thing that you can do for me is to get behind Trevor. In the New Testament words, in the New Testament words, he must increase, I must decrease. Even though there's tears, I'm thankful. You could have been in on conversations Deb and I had 21 years ago about coming to Polk City and what a dream, it's beyond anything we could have thought. I want to thank my wife. If you don't already know, she's the quieter one of the two. But she's the rock. She's the rock. She's counseled me and many of you. And she's always been willing to follow the Lord. For that, I'm thankful. As a missionary church planner from Lakeside in the months ahead, if that is indeed the fact, the Lord's will, then we are partners in the gospel. Deb and I both agree. This has been the best 21 years of our life. If I could pray for you, I'd love to do that. Let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. Lord, there's hundreds of people here today. I don't know everyone, but I know many. And I've had a front row inside view of what you have done and are doing in their lives. I know the brokenness. I know the loss. I know the joys for many here. I take great comfort in knowing that you care about each one here today and might be listening on live stream even more than their pastor could care. I thank you for that in my own life. The overwhelming desire through all of this, Lord, is that you get the glory and that your Son be exalted. I pray that that would take place today. In Christ's precious name, amen. Thank you.
Wow. The elders acknowledge that this information, to most of us at different levels, is very surprising. Maybe not that Dave was preparing to hand over the lead pastor role, but that the Lord had called him to go out and not to be here with us. It's been a very emotional weekend for many of us. Personally, I've been able to, with my wife, experience both bookends of life. A new granddaughter was born this weekend, and we got to rejoice at the miracle of life. And we also got to experience Lori celebrating her life and stuff as she was laid to rest this weekend as well. Through that and through many experiences here, I've seen Lakeside step up to support, encourage, mourn with, and rejoice with multiple things that have gone on in the church. Life is difficult and hard at times, and I've seen the people of Lakeside step up to be there for you. Now, I'd like to share a timeline of this transition and stuff, but first, I'd like to say thank you to Dave and Deb. Thank you for the 21 years of your life given to the gospel ministry here in the North Pole community. We acknowledge that God is at the heart of what is going on here, but if you'd not listened to God's calling 21 years ago, we may not be here today, and then we certainly wouldn't be here to be the same. Thank you for leading Lakeside Fellowship during the time in your life as God calls you to this new ministry where we heard this morning. It's not normal and stuff for a lead pastor to plan for his replacement so far in advance. But we're thankful, Dave, that you heard God's calling and leading, not exactly knowing how things would be today as it were 5 years ago, but you're still obedient to that small voice. The prayer, time, effort, energy Pastor Davis put into the process is massive. I know from hearing his heart, over the past few years, that this is he has made this choice in prayer, both personally and with all the elders. Thank you for listening to the God's call to go to Waukee. It's going to be really hard to watch you go, but with joy, we send you and Deb to another church where you can continue to have the gospel impact that you've had here. Pastor Dave has already said he's going to step down as lead pastor on May 31st. This Wednesday, February 18th, we are already having all the growth groups come. And so we will have a time of being able to answer questions. Allow a few days here for you to be able to think through what has been said. This afternoon, an email will go out and it'll have a link in it. We would ask that you would write your questions down and send them in. By doing this, it'll allow you to have focus and clarity on the questions and allow us to get through as many questions as possible. Depending on how long that takes, there may be an opportunity for open mic and stuff, but we would want to be here to answer the questions and stuff that's going through this transition. At any time, any of the elders are available to take your questions, your comments, and spend time with you, helping you have more clarity on the process that David's laid out. Your growth group leaders have already been informed and had a chance to add some questions, and also will be a point of contact for you to be able to ask. If they're not able to answer, they'll refer you to the elders, but we're very thankful for our growth group leaders and are very part very big part of this transition, as well as they help shepherd the church through this change. I want to reiterate that the elders have unanimously nominated Pastor Trevor to be the next lead pastor. On Tuesday, March 24th, we will have a question time with Pastor Trevor to be able to answer or ask questions and stuff about his philosophy of ministry or anything that's come up. And we'd like, before that time, like you to be able to spend time with Trevor, getting to hear his heart, so that you would know the questions that you would like to ask. On Wednesday, May 6th, we will have a business meeting to vote on Pastor Trevor to be the next lead pastor. And then Sunday, May 31st, Lord willing, we will have a send-off for Pastor Dave and Deb and an installation service for Pastor Trevor as the new lead pastor of Lakeside Fellowship, pending he is voted in. Your role as members, we need you to pray. Pray for unity, pray for peace, pray for God's hand to be on this time at Lakeside. Satan would desire this to cause division and disrupt what we've had going for the last 21 years. Please do not allow him an opportunity to do that. Thank you for being here this morning to hear Pastor Dave and Deb's heart and the future the elders believe God is leading us towards. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for raising up a leader to start a work in Lakeside Fellowship or in Polk City. We thank you how you've worked. You've used imperfect people to share the gospel and impact lives. We are so thankful that you've led the people here to be a part of this church. We ask that you would be honored and glorified through this transition, that the leadership would be open and honest with the transition, and that you would prepare Dave for the Waukee ministry and Pastor Trevor for taking up the mantle as lead pastor at Lakeside. Help all we do and say honor and glorify you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.